Good morning, everybody, and welcome again to a beautiful morning at the Ennis Reserve. Some rain came through last night and freshened the air. It's a beautiful day to be serving the Lord. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but over the last couple of years, I think a lot of people have forgotten how to be nice. Been watching the news or social media or even in conversations, you'll notice that things are just not what they used to be. But unfortunately, that forgetting how to be nice has even escalated to the point to where there is some pure unrestrained hatred going on. You know what I'm talking about. And I know most of us as Christians, we do our best to be nice, and we say, well, it's just them out there in the world doing that and not us. But I honestly believe that sometimes Christians are promoting this too. Well, according to the Bible, we never learned that from Jesus. So here's the question. How did we get there? How did things get in such a poor position? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thank you for the rain last night. Thank you for the birds that are singing in the background. Thank you for the beautiful sun and the blue sky. Thank you for your wonderful blessings. But Father, our society's gotten to a point right now, it's in a bit of a problem. And we know that people are really, really, really getting angry, frustrated, and even beginning to hate deeply. Help us, Father, to go into your word and find some answers for us. Help us as Christians to apply that. And help us to live these principles out to be different in a world that's going a little bit crazy. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we know that our culture is changing drastically. But if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in that drastic change that's going on in our culture. We do live in the culture, and if we're not careful, it'll rub off on us. So before we go any further, let's just admit that we do have a problem. Think about this. What happens when we have an election time on? You know what happens. Our political leaders get angry and nasty and start tearing each other apart, and their followers start getting nasty and angry and start tearing each other apart. But unfortunately nowadays, everybody thinks that's okay. Well, is it? Now let's get to the protests that we've all been seeing. I won't mention any issues, but as we watch the protests, and there's been many over the last few years, the people that are protesting have strong emotions, and the frustration and the seething anger begins to boil up, and it just gets out of hand. But as we watch that, our emotions begin to build up within ourselves. Well, if we agree with the protesters, we feel their passion, we feel their anger, and the anger begins rising. If we disagree with the protesters, then we feel the emotions kicking in anyway. And guess what? The anger begins rising again. Is that okay? You see, most people in our world today really do believe it's okay to get angry and frustrated and show your rage. But when you get angry, here's a problem. you have a presence on social media, you go in and begin reading about some things, and the next thing you know, the feeds start coming to you, and Facebook and other things start sending people to you who believe just like you do, and all it does is it feeds the anger and the frustration, and you get worse and worse and worse, and all of a sudden you find yourself right in the middle of the spirit of the age. But perhaps you're not on social media. Well, let's look at it another way. What happens today when somebody gets within your personal space, or perhaps 1.5 meters? I know. We look at them and we just get angry. And if we're not careful, we can explode. Let's look at something else. Perhaps you're driving, and when you're driving, you're in charge of a massive weapon. And if someone cuts you off or begins to annoy you, you feel the anger just flashes up and you use your car to get back at them. We all know that road rage has now become a huge problem. So why is that happening? Well, I believe, and I've said over and over and over again, that we are exposed to all the anger, frustration, and fighting going on in the world in 30-minute segments of the news. And when we see those things, our anger and frustration and sorrow just builds up. And then when we leave the news, we go out and just explode at somebody because we don't have anything to deal with the sorrow. Years ago, generations ago, when someone had a struggle within the community, everybody knew them. They were right there. They'd make some food, go over and encourage them. They had something to do with their sorrow. But nowadays, when we see all the stuff that's going on in the world, we have no place to take it to, and it just builds up, and we get angry, frustrated, and we just explode. That's what's happening, I believe, in our culture. Well, listen, as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to stand in contrast to what's going on in the culture. We should be different than the spirit of the age. Are we doing that? Let's be honest, probably not. So today we're going to go to the Bible, and we're going to see if we can find some instructions on how to deal with these issues. So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and see what Paul had to say about it. Go with me over to verses 1 through 3. Paul writes, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with each other in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at those three main words: humility, gentleness, and patience. Let me say it again: humility, gentleness, and patience. Do you think those three things would change a lot of our culture? But Paul had much more to say. Go with me to verse number 19. They, speaking of the Gentiles, they have become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality, greed, to practice every kind of impurity. Now, when we think of the word sensuality, we think sexuality. But that word means a whole lot more. Let me read it to you. That word means a life without concern for personal standards or social sanctions. Their purpose was to practice every kind of impurity with the continual lust for more, which is greed, indulging in self-gratification without regard for others. My goodness, that is an absolute picture of what we're seeing going on in our world, particularly if you watch the news and on social media. There is no reservation. Everybody is putting it all out there. They're angry and frustrated, and they want to stir everybody up to be frustrated and angry. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves being taken in by that, and we'll become just like anyone else. Now Paul has some answers for us. Look at verse number 20 and 21. But this is not the way you learn in Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Listen, if you're a Christian, you've heard anything about Jesus Christ, you know that this is not the way Jesus taught us. This is not the things he wants us to do. The things going on in the world, they didn't get that from Jesus at all. Okay, what do we do? Look at verse number 22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Basically, I think Paul is saying is what you once did before you learned of Christ, you don't do anymore. Now, I know it's real easy to slip back into the old way of doing things, but Paul said to lay aside the old man. Don't do those things anymore. And as we see things going on in the world and our anger and frustration developed, we just real easily slide right back into that. We're not supposed to do that way. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Don't let what you see affect your behavior. Let me say it again. It really doesn't matter what's going on in the world, because things are going to come and go. They're going to get worse and better. Things are just going to go crazy and then calm down. But whatever's going on, we don't let it affect our behavior. We let the teachings of Christ and his example guide our behavior. That's just what we're supposed to do as Christians. But Paul goes on and gives us some instruction on how we're supposed to behave. Look at verses 25 through 28. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That should not be hard to do. We know it's wrong to lie and to develop falsehoods. Stop lying to people. Speak the truth. Should never even be a problem with Christians. Remember, we're supposed to set the example. Look at verse number 28. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. There you go. You can get angry, but do not sin. Don't let that anger and frustration develop and progress to the point to where it dominates you and causes problems. And get rid of it before you go to bed. If you don't, it may just build overnight and you're going to be worse in the morning. Because that really does give a foothold to the devil, according to what Paul said. And he'll control you with it. Verse number 28, let's continue. Let him who stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Well, that's a no-brainer too. All of us are supposed to work. We're supposed to work and provide for ourselves and our family. Matter of fact, folks, that's where your self-esteem comes from. If we don't work, how can you feel good about yourself? You got to do something. Do something to help support yourself and those around you. Now, Paul gets a little bit personal here, and he gets down close to where we live. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such is as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. As Mom used to say, if you can't say something good, well, can you finish that? Don't say anything at all. If you can't find something good to say, if it's not helpful or at least constructive, don't say anything, because it's destructive and counterproductive if you do. Now, in case you don't know what Paul means about corrupting talk, he makes it much clearer. Let's go on to verse number 31. Paul writes, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Listen, get rid of bitterness, wrath, anger, harsh words, slander, and all types of evil behavior. In one verse, listen, the Apostle Paul has shut down the internet and most of the news outlets. But you and I feed ourselves on those things every day. It's no wonder we're so confused and frustrated and depressed and angry. But then Paul goes on and he stops telling us what not to do. And then he tells us what to do. And what he's about to say is a positive way forward to a better future. This is important. Verse number 32. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Be kind. Be compassionate. Be forgiving. Let me say it again. Be kind. Be compassionate. Be forgiving. Those three things will revolutionize our lives. Let me say it again. Those three things will revolutionize our lives, our families, and our churches, and our cities. So there you go. Learning to live a kind, compassionate, and forgiving life will remove the anger, frustration, and hate that we see throughout this world. Others may not change, but we can. And I think we should. Don't you? Listen, everyone, we'll get through this tense and unusual time. But I believe if we just get our eyes off of the world and the things going on there, and we'd stop listening to everything that's going on, and we'd turn our eyes upon Jesus, as the old song says, then things could turn around. We can find a stability in our faith by resting on what Jesus taught and the example he lived. Folks, there's a better way. We just got to discover it and live it. And now we've seen what that way is. Let's apply it and live that way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to apply the things that you have taught us. Help us to get our eyes off of the confusion, anger, and frustration in the world and get our eyes on Jesus. We know that. We just need to do it. Father, I just pray that you will give us peace in the midst of a world that's looking pretty chaotic. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.